Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Miles Jack, who is Director International News Solutions for TSYS. Miles, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks very much for having me on.
So you're joining from Cyprus. You have a very lovely bird's eye view of what's going on in the European market, and that is what we're here to talk about today. So let's start with the basics. I'd like to just get your sense of what the landscape is and the growth potential is for digital payments in Europe. Who is driving innovation, and certainly what role is TSYS playing in that evolution?
Okay, well, thank you for that. It's a lot of things going on in Europe. I think there's a lot of discussion. I think there's a lot of players entering the market. But in terms of actual activity, it's been fairly patchy to date. I think there's a number of reasons for that. I think there's a lot of interest in people doing pilots, doing proof of concept, but no real sort of industrial scale rollout of mobile payments, apart from a couple of areas. I think some of that's down to the infrastructure, and certainly there are issues with the rollout of contactless infrastructure in Europe. I think there's also a reluctance on behalf of some of the institutions to invest in technology without knowing quite which way the market's going to go or quite which way which technology is going to take the lead. I think some of that's going to dissipate now. But, you know, there's always been this history of a long history of doing digital payments, various different ways of doing them, various different aspects of technology, and potentially some of the investment is being held back until people are quite sure which way it's going. We've got the added issue at the moment of the new Payment Services Directive, which is having an impact on the way that institutions are planning. So they are looking at their investments, looking at their business models very, very carefully. And they really need to be convinced before they invest that whatever way or direction they take is really going to, you know, have a high degree of success.
That's very interesting. Let me just stop you there for a minute. Now, when you talk about the new Payment Services Directive, what specifically, because there are many dimensions associated with that, what in particular is giving, I would imagine, the banks in this case, the banks and the innovators, pause? What are they most concerned about?
Well, I think a couple of things that they're really concerned about. One is obviously the effect on interchange and the effect on the income that will be gained from interchange. So that's really having an impact on the investments that the banks are looking at. I think the second aspect of that is really sort of some of the more longer-term impacts of that, like the honor roll cards rules. So people are really having to be very clear about what it is they're investing in and really looking at whether or not they're investing in the right sort of areas. I think, as I said, some of these things are starting to change because it is becoming clearer, and I think this year has become a lot clearer as to how things are going to move. But I think that's been some of the reluctance in the past as to how we're going to implement digital payments and what is the infrastructure that needs to be put in place to support it.
So how do you perceive things now moving? It's very interesting to hear you talk about some of the challenges in the market in Europe. I was speaking at a conference just last week, and I made the point that I think the perspective of many people who look at Europe from the U.S. think that there's so much more going on with respect to digital payments than in fact there is. And I think you highlighted appropriately some of the obstacles that have prevented, I guess, more traction from occurring. But you seem confident now that things are in fact shifting despite the uncertainty around some of the new Payment Services Directive outcomes that are still forming. What is that direction?
Well, I think things have changed a lot this year. We're seeing an awful lot of investment and an awful lot of new ideas coming into the market. You asked me about the players, and I think the really big issue that's really sort of kick-started everything this year has been Apple.
Sure.
Their introduction of Apple Pay, you know, it's not just given a huge boost to everybody, but it's also helped in terms of securing, you know, sort of settling down the technology. You know, when they selected to go with NFC, when they selected to use the existing payment associations, when they selected, you know, all of these sort of technology issues, but that's done, and it's collated a lot of the understanding of the industry, and it's got people sort of moving forward on the same path. And I think by somebody as big as Apple coming in, their brand awareness helps to get the customers on site, it helps to get the people's interest, it really sort of drives the enthusiasm. And that makes space for some of the other players to get into the market. So we're seeing a lot of interesting developments, a lot of interesting thoughts coming on the back of their entry into the market. So although it's been a bit of a patchwork, I think what we're seeing is a huge amount of movement this year. You're seeing technologies like postcard emulation come through, and you're seeing people start to pick and choose on the basis of how they want to drive their business rather than what the technology is telling them they have to do.
So are you speaking about the banks, or are you speaking about the retailers, or both?
I think both. I think in terms of the retailers, we've seen a lot of programs come and go. We've seen a lot of different issues. I mean, if I look back, I think I first started working on a mobile payment solution back in the 90s on a WAP-based system. There's been lots and lots of attempts.
Those were the days.
Those were the days indeed. But now we're seeing, you know, everybody's getting behind NFC. So the retailers know what sort of technology they need to put in place, and they know what it is that they need to do in order to be able to secure and take transactions like Apple Pay. We can then see the developers, the tech companies coming in, knowing exactly what sort of technology they need to put in place. And you can see the banks then are comfortable with investing because they know exactly which direction the market's going. I think these things together are really sort of driving the growth of digital payments this year in Europe.
So you did mention some uncertainty over business models with respect to interchange and the Payment Services Directive. Is that giving banks pause, given Apple Pay's model, which is to take a little piece of interchange revenue?
I don't think so specifically. I know, obviously, that the banks will always be looking to claw back any piece of revenue they can, and particularly when we've got the Payment Services Directive looming over them, they have to look very carefully at how they're going to invest, and I'm sure they will push very hard on that sort of piece of the revenue. But I think the excitement and the enthusiasm that we're seeing around things like Apple Pay and all the other pay models probably outweighs the negative connotations of perhaps giving up a little bit of their revenue.
Gotcha. How are consumers responding? I know you don't touch consumers directly, but obviously your customers do. Are they ready for the digital wave?
They are. And actually, we did some research this summer. We reached out to about 1,000 consumers across the UK and Germany, really sort of tried to understand what their reading was of digital payments and whether they would be willing to consider using them. And what we found is that, you know, 2/3 of them indicated they'd expect to use mobile payments for at least half of their in-store purchases within the next 2 years. So definitely I think there's an appetite there. Definitely I think that the customer base is very enthused by the idea. There are some hold-ups to that, but definitely we're seeing a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement, and people actually wanting to use the technology. I mean, you're always going to get first movers, the people who want to use it just because it's there.
Sure.
But you're also starting to get people understanding that they potentially can get other benefits from using digital channels for payments.
Well, and the mobile is so much a part of every person's life now that it just makes sense. We just, to your point, have to create an experience that makes that change to their benefit. And that leads me to my last question. I know you and TSYS are very involved in really helping to advance the movement of digital payments throughout the world and certainly in Europe. So how are you helping, and what kinds of conversations are you having with your partners on that front?
Okay, I think obviously from a TSYS perspective, we're trying to do two different things. We're obviously trying to innovate ourselves and obviously trying to bring technology and services to the market. But also equally, I think we're also trying to facilitate that journey for our customers. I think that there's a lot of, not confusion, but certainly there is some trepidation on behalf of some of these customers. How do they move into the digital space? Is it just something that's going to just be an overhead to them, or is it actually going to drive new business? So I think we can both bring the ideas to them, but also facilitate how they take those things up. In terms of the sort of business conversations we're having, I mean, digital doesn't change the fundamentals of the business. It's still the same business at heart. But it does change a lot of discussions about delivery, about content, channel, and more particularly user experience. And one of the things that we're finding always, you know, we always talk about security when we talk about physical payments, and you know, obviously pieces can help to allay some of the fears over security. But the really big conversation we're having is the talk about user experience. It probably sounds counterintuitive, but you know, digital is really at heart a very personal experience. And what we're finding is that, you know, the client's focusing more on the presentation, the end-to-end experience, you know, and particularly when we start talking to some of the new challenger banks or some of the smaller players in the industry, that digital experience is how they define what makes them different. And in that respect, you know, digital changes the game. It flattens the playing field. You know, it's no longer all about scale. So we're having those kind of conversations with customers as to how can they use this to differentiate themselves in what's become a fairly same market for a lot of the offerings that are out there.
That's an interesting conversation, because the digital environment gives the clients that you are talking to the opportunity to differentiate beyond just the physical act of payment.
Absolutely. I think, you know, what we're going to see in the next 18 months or so is a big focus on what else can we do to differentiate that service. We don't just want people to use their mobile device to make a payment. We want to interact with the customer. We want to make our services different. We want to give them something that is of great value to them, which keeps them coming back for more. So I think that's what we're going to see the conversation shift. We've moved away now from how are we going to do digital payments to how are we going to differentiate that payment service and all of the things that go with it to make ourselves a true sort of standout player.
So, Miles, what are some of the things that you are cooking up in your innovation centers to address those opportunities with your clients?
Okay, well, a lot of this obviously still relates to how do we actually just push digital payments out to the client. So, you know, whether that be on Apple Pay, whether that be Samsung, whether that be Google, whether that be host card emulation. So there's a lot of work still to be done on how do we move people forward and actually get them enabled. I think the second thing that we're really sort of starting to look at is what are the changes that allows us then to do? How do we put, for example, account control into the hands of the customer so they can decide how they want to make their payments, how they want their account to be handled, particularly how they want to be marketed to? Those kind of ideas definitely will come through. I think we'll see a shift in the next year or so towards what are the additional services. People talk a lot about loyalty, and obviously loyalty and real-time sort of reward processing in the digital space is a lot more easier than it always was when it was cards and plastic. But I don't think that's going to be the only conversation. I think it's really going to be about how do we drive that customer experience.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation to get the perspective on what you're talking to your customers and partners about. It's obviously a very similar conversation to what's happening everywhere when it comes to this new mobile medium and the great potential that it provides in the payments and commerce space. I really enjoyed our conversation. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.